So how do we respond as believers when the world is in turmoil and there's chaos all around us? What should our attitude be?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it has been quite a week so far. I'm broadcasting again live from New York, from Long Island, actually. And then after the broadcast, fly back home. That's the plan. And spent a couple of amazing days with family here that came in from Maryland and North Carolina to join my mom for her 90th birthday. Got a whole lot of things to talk with you about, some important questions to ask you, some important scriptural insights to impart to you, and some news. News you got to hear. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. All right, a few shout-outs. If, in fact, my friends at Avis Car Rental over in Lynbrook, Long Island, are actually listening, just dropped a rental car off there before heading over to the offices from whence I'm broadcasting now. If you happen to be there, hey, I said I'd say hey, and the dear Irish gentleman that gave my family, actually, we were in two different carriages, carriage rides, escorted by wonderful horses and even more wonderful hosts. If you happen to be tuning in, the carriage ride through Central Park, as you said, you would. I promised I'd give you a shout out and greetings. All right, did that. And for all of you that asked me to wish my mom a happy 90th birthday, that was yesterday, but we celebrated it Monday night. She was really moved and touched to hear that you, the listeners, would be thinking of her. So thank you so much. We did have some special time together and brought the grandkids into New York City for the first time and experienced the beast. You say, what's the beast? Well, we were going to take one of those rides just by boats, go slowly around Manhattan Island. We had never done that and thought, well, let's do it. We've got the kids, their husbands, and then the four grandkids. Let's do it. So 10 of us total. By the time we got over there, over to the pier, it was there was going to be one last one. It was going to be too late into the evening. We wanted to take the grandkids through Times Square at night in New York City. If you've never been there, it's quite an amazing sight. But there was this half-hour ride on a speedboat. And we had never done anything like this. We were able to get some discounts on it and put everybody on. It was unreal. I imagine the vast majority of New Yorkers don't know it exists. So if you go, you work from Times Square or take a taxi all the way down to the water, take a ride on the beast. Trust me, it was an amazing half-hour experience with some of the most wild turns I've ever experienced in a boat or just about in anything. As someone on the boat said, thank God the seat belts work. So on a more sober note, though, Monday morning, we went into World Trade Center, the World Trade Center Memorial. We went there in memory of Nancy's brother, Douglas Gurian, who was one of the victims of the terrorist attacks on 9/11. And long, long lines to get through. I mean, quite a wait to get through and then go through security and finally get in there. And I'm not exactly sure why people would go there if they weren't directly touched by the tragedy, either someone close to them or just by having others they knew involved in it. But where the two buildings stood, it's just open now, and there's kind of a waterfall just cascading down the sides and then down into the middle. So it's constant flow of water, and then they will help you. The folks working there will help you find the name of a loved one that you're looking for. So we found Douglas's name, and I was just kind of overcome. Just had to walk away a little bit, just fighting back the intensity of the tears, the pain, realizing it's a whole lot of suffering. Unbelievable amount of suffering represented there. And there's an important spiritual insight I want to bring to you. So some major, crucial, critical things we're going to talk about, and then a question I've got for you. Join me right back after the break, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, here's my question for you. In light of what's happening in the world, the chaos in terms of Muslim riots, the potential war between Israel and Iran that, of course, would bring in many other nations, the continued moral decline in America and Europe in so many ways, moral insanity in other ways, departure from Scripture in so many parts of the professing church. If you believe there's going to be great chaos and spiritual and moral decline before the end of the age, all right, we're not going to get into pre-trib, post-trib ideas and so on, but simply if you believe that before the end of the age that there will be serious moral, social decline and cultural upheaval, if that's your particular view, you don't believe that things will get better and better and better until Jesus comes and reigns over perfect kingdom that the gospel has established, you're not therefore post-millennial, you're pre-millennial or perhaps amillennial. If you believe that there will be great decline, tribulation, shaking before the end of the age, before Jesus returns physically to the earth, all right? Again, we're not getting into pre-trib, post-trib, rapture debate or anything like that. I'm just asking this larger question. Let's say that's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. In other words, the worst it's going to get is a 10. Where would you put things today? Overall, America, worldwide, where would you put things today if the final upheaval, shaking, quaking, tribulation, decline, apostasy, whatever you expect to take place, you may expect great revival at the same time as I do. But if you believe there'll be great darkness and shaking and tribulation and chaos and decline on the earth before the end of this age, if that's a 10, where are we now? Are we a 1? Are we a 5? Are we a 9? Where are we now, in your opinion? 866-34-TRUTH. I posted this article on my Facebook page, which many have spotted yesterday on Fox News and other outlets. France is set to ban the words mother and father from all official documents under new plans to legalize gay marriage and give equal adoption rights to homosexual and heterosexual couples. Under the proposed law, only the word parents would be used in marriage ceremonies for all heterosexual and same-sex couples, a move that has sparked widespread outrage, as reported by The Telegraph in England. Changes to the civil code would mean swapping all references to mothers and fathers in legal documents with the word parents. The proposed law has been met with resistance by members of the Catholic Church, according to Cardinal Philippe Barbarin, the head of the French Catholic Church. Gay marriage would herald a complete breakdown in society. This could have innumerable consequences. Afterward, they will want to create couples with three or four members, and after that, perhaps one day the taboo of incest will fall. And others challenged it, who is to say that a heterosexual couple will bring up a child better than a homosexual couple, that they will guarantee the best conditions for the child's development. That's another question entirely. But banning father, mother. I posted that on my Facebook page, and someone responded, this is the end of the world. Did you look at it the same way? When you see these things happen, wow, we must be an 8 or a 9. If 10 is the worst, we must be an 8 or a 9. Or do you have a different perspective? I'll give mine a few times over the broadcast. I'll give mine before this first half hour is up, but I want to hear from you. And Dwight, you can just put the number down. That's fine, to save yourself some typing. You can just put the number down, and that'll be enough with each caller. Is this a sign that the end is very, very close? Ahmadinejad, who continues to call for the destruction of Israel, the elimination of Israel, says that Israel doesn't even have roots. The modern Jewish state doesn't even have roots in the Middle East. So of all days, speaking at Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, speaking at the UN, it's an outrage that he's speaking at all. It's an outrage that he has an open door at all. The General Secretary of the UN warned him against incendiary speech. Well, he's already made incendiary comments since he's been here. How do you feel about the fact that Piers Morgan interviewed him? Is that a sign of American enlightenment? If he's a Hitler-type figure, would have been okay in before World War II, as the signs were getting clearer and clearer, that one of our talk show hosts would have interviewed Hitler back then? But that's another subject, but it's bizarre and completely wrong to me. Look, you have to realize that Iran is not doing what Nazi Germany did in terms of systematic conquest of other countries, but it continues to spread its radical Islamic revolution and continues to spread terrorist attacks in many countries. Much of the upheaval you read about in Iraq and Muslims blowing up Muslims outside of mosques and things like that is fueled, as best as we understand, by Iran. And they've made clear what their feelings are in terms of Israel. You say, well, that's just bluster. That's just empty speech. Well, how do you know in advance if it's just bluster? That's the first question. Haven't there been enough evil acts associated with radical Islam in Iran already? And shouldn't that type of speech be forbidden in any case at the UN? Even if it's just bluster, if someone was going to get up and say someone from America was going to say we should kill all Russians and eliminate them and wipe them out and drive them off the planet. Well, you're going to permit that even if it was just bluster? Now, before the show is out, I want to give you some principles to help give you a perspective as to how we handle insane news like this. And for those who can't believe what's happening in France, may I point out that Spain, when it changed the definition of marriage or changed the birth certificates to say progenitor A and progenitor B, so parent A and parent B instead of mother and father, oh, that's already documented, and a queer thing happened to America, which came out last March, and I had done the research on that part of it. Been out for some time already in terms of the information about Spain. When state of California for a period of time redefined marriage, said it was just the union of any two people, on the marriage certificate, both sides, instead of just saying bridegroom, it was bride, groom, so you could fill out whatever the combination was. The only thing that surprises me is that this surprises anyone, because these things have been clear in terms of moral social degeneration. And one of our roles on the radio here is to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. On that note, the well-known and respected in certain circles leader, Brian McLaren, presided recently over the same-sex so-called marriage of one of his sons and his son's partners. Now, Brian McLaren says that he had changed his views about this earlier, that he changed his views about homosexuality a while back before he found out that one of his sons came out as gay. And he said that it was based on meeting people in his church and others that were obviously professing to be committed Christians, and they all came out as gay. And he looked at things and said, wow, you know, I'm supposed to love God, love my neighbor. And what I've been taught in church, what I've been taught about what the Bible says doesn't line up with that. Therefore, I need to basically change my theology to match my experience. Those are my words. Is that a surprise? No, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise at all. I'm not condemning Mr. McLaren to hell over that, although I have very, very serious concerns about what he does believe, and very serious concerns about what he's teaching others, and very serious concerns as to whether you can teach and preach these things and in any way, shape, size, or form be called a true follower of Jesus. And yes, to me, it's all a matter of loving God and loving one's neighbor. To me, it's all a matter of social justice. To me, it's all a matter of true mercy, which is never in disharmony with truth. Mercy and truth, God's mercy and God's truth are flip sides of one beautiful coin. But yes, the church, the professing church, is in ever-increasing compromise. And yes, the society is in ever-increasing chaos. But does that mean we're right at the end? Of course, God alone has the specific details of the times in his hand. Does that mean we're right at the end? If a 10 is the worst it's going to get before Jesus establishes his kingdom on the earth, where are we now? We come back. I want to get your calls. Douglas, Bruce, Tyrone, stay there. And by the way, since we've got a waiting list of males, we have some females weigh in on this too. 866-348-7884. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire to weigh in. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to go right to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Looking at the numbers here, they are all over, which is wonderful. They'll give us a lot of different perspectives. My question, as we look around, see the chaos in society, see the moral decline in society, moral decline, scriptural decline, and much of the professing church. If 10 is the very worst things are going to be before Jesus returns to establish his kingdom on the earth, we're not debating pre-trib, post-trib, but just the end when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom. If 10 is the very worst, where are we now on a scale of 1 to 10? Bruce in Washington, D.C., you're up first on the line of fire. Thanks for calling.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I think right now we are at around a 7. And I think things will get worse spiritually and morally. But I think things will eventually get better economically.
All right. And do you believe that it's going to be the same kind of all around the world? Or it's going to vary from nation to nation?
No, I think it's going to be all around the world. I mean, as the Bible says, we are going to be one world government. It will be one world government, and everything would unify under the banner of the Antichrist.
Got it. All right. Hey, Bruce, thank you for weighing in and kicking things off. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Douglas. All right. What happened to Douglas in Waltham, Massachusetts? Excuse me, Waltham, Massachusetts. I heard he had something very interesting to say, but we won't find out what it is right now, will we? Gloria in the Bronx, thanks for calling the line of fire. Hello, Gloria.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I believe that it's number 8, and I say that maybe because I'm an octogenarian, and I've been around a long time, and I've seen us leave innocence and civility, respect for parents, and teach our children respect for parents and authority and teachers, anyone. And in that era, anyone, if you were doing something wrong, your neighbor or even the person in the store would say, you know better than that, and they could correct you. You would beg that they didn't tell your parents when they came in the store. So it might be because, like I said, I've seen a couple of decades, and I've seen a drastic change. And
all right, so your perspective
faster and faster.
Yeah, your perspective then, Gloria, is not just based on the latest news headline, but cultural decline in general. And Gloria, you said octogenarian, so you're actually in your 80s?
Correct.
Wow. I mean, I doubt that any of us would have been within a few decades. You sound very young over the phone, but God bless you. So society has changed quite dramatically, just in terms of respect for authority and general civility that you grew up with.
The breakdown is occurring faster and in volume now.
Got it. All clear. Hey, Gloria, thank you so much for weighing in. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH, right? She puts things at an 8, based on the large level of cultural moral decline she has seen over her 80 years. Lee in Washington, D.C., what's your take?
I believe we are at a one.
Okay.
I mean, if you read the book of Revelation and see the destructive nature and wrath of God, I don't even think we are either remotely close to that yet. I believe we are within pain. Where we are on the scale regarding the book of Revelation, I believe we are in number one.
All right, so you look at Revelation, you see massive upheaval, shaking, and compared to that, we're living in peace and tranquility, in your view.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
All right, hey.
I think it's almost an offense to God to believe that this is all he can do. This is the only ability of his wrath. I don't think so. I think when he really let it out after all these years of containing, his wrath, when he really lets it go, we would know, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Mm-hmm. And what about what human beings do? You've suggested about God's outpouring of wrath. What about the actions of human beings? Do you think that we will descend that deeply in terms of our sin as well?
We get worse. As a matter of fact, I believe that the Lord is constraining about 99% of the evil that we are capable of doing. If you read it about the destructive nature of man's heart and the weakness of his heart, I believe he's constraining about 99% of it.
Got it. All right, loud and clear. Thank you for weighing in. Since we just had a one, let me go to Eugene in Queens, New York. It looks like you have a different perspective.
Not totally different, and I think we're allowed to look at it. I think we're at a 10. I think that what we see, similar to what the last caller mentioned, is God's constraint. And when God mentioned that he would shorten the number of days for the elect's sake in terms of mercy for our sake and to encourage, give us an understanding of what's going to happen just to encourage us. Because I believe at any point in time since Christ's birth and death and resurrection, as far as justification, I believe God was immediately justified. I believe that's why the early church, including Peter, asked, were curious in Thessalonians, when was Christ going to return? Because the justification and God's dispensation has been there since that time. It's just really we're living in the age of grace and mercy in terms of God not being slack, offering salvation to others to come in. But as far as justification, I think he's already justified. As far as mercy, I would say we may be about a 7 or to an 8.
Okay, got it. All right, all clear. So there's enough sin to put us at a level of 10 in terms of our guilt before God. There's enough sin to put us there. God's justified already, but he is not pouring out wrath yet. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get some more perspective. I'm looking, and we've got ranges from 1 and 9 and different ones. So I want to hear why you feel the way you do. I'm about a 3 in terms of my own thinking, but I don't want to give too many details because I don't want to prejudice those who have answers. But tell you what, if you differ with me, I want you to feel free to differ. I expect massive amount more of upheaval, massive amount more of upheaval to come, and even much more human sin, in the midst of which God will move like we've never seen. But the key thing is to keep our spiritual focus where it belongs, to be worshipers of God, to spend more time worshiping God, meditating on his word, praising Jesus as King, and fighting battles spiritually than getting caught up in a way where we're pulling our hair out. Because God, in the midst of grief and pain he experiences over a sick and dying world, is not pulling his hair out. He's working out his plan in the midst of it. Okay, I want to extend this another day. We've gotten great response, and it looks like we're making something available in a way that's very important to you. My two best series ever on prayer and intercession, 24 hours total teaching. It's a $40 value on CD, but your gift of any size will send it to you. Postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this. You will be blessed.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, yes, we need moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. We need radical change. We need a massive upheaval in the church and then in the society, not through worldly means, not through anger, hatred, intimidation, violence, but through the gospel, through greater upheaval. Spiritual battles are far more intense than natural battles. No, not because spiritual battles, we can just zap people and kill them. No, no, the opposite. Because spiritual battles entail overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming fleshly forces with spiritual forces. And the greatest battle we can fight is alone with God on our knees. It's not the only thing we do, but it's the first thing we do. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The question I've put out, if 10 represents the very worst things will get, if 10 represents the very, very worst things we'll get before Jesus returns to earth and establishes his kingdom, for those who believe there will be massive upheaval and shaking before the end, where are we now on a scale of 1 through 10? Before I get back to your calls, I was in New York City, as I mentioned, still in New York and doing a live broadcast here and then flying back, God willing, tonight back to North Carolina. But we went with the family, Nancy and I, our two daughters, their husbands, and the four grandkids. We went to the World Trade Center memorial site on Monday morning. And with the help of one of the workers there, extremely courteous and gracious, got us over to the name of Nancy's brother, Douglas, who was killed 9/11. And I was just gripped to the pain of it, thinking of all the suffering represented by those 3,000 plus names, all their families and extended families, and then those whose lives were terribly disrupted in one way or another on that day but survived. I was just thinking of how much pain had been wrought by those terrorists, how much destruction. And I've thought of this many times before, but I thought of it again. I thought of it again. They only did what they did. They only had the power to do what they did because they gave their lives for a destructive cause. If they did not pilot those planes themselves, if they did not get in those planes and crash them into the two World Trade Centers and then the Pentagon, they never could have brought about the level of harm and destruction they brought about. They, in a demonic, destructive, ungodly way, did not love their lives even to the point of death. Friends, that's the key for us in the power of the gospel. Not loving our lives to the point of death. No, no, no. Not that we go and take other lives. If you're just tuning in and don't understand these gospel principles, let me make this plain. What Scripture talks about, for example, in Revelation 12:11. What Scripture talks about in terms of people not loving their lives even to death means that we will follow Jesus at any cost or consequence. When we do baptismal services every year in India, and Brother Yesu Padam and I baptize the people, he speaks to them in Telugu first, and he asks them, do they believe in Jesus? Is he their Lord? Just basic confession of faith. And then asks them, are they willing to follow Jesus to their last drop of blood? Are they willing to follow Jesus by life or by death? And when they say yes, then they're baptized. In other words, it may cost them everything. It's likely they'll be ostracized by family. They could lose jobs. They could be beaten. In some places, they could be killed. But here's the freedom. When you cross that line, and for many of us in America, we're not threatened with martyrdom. The vast, vast majority of us in America have never known any threat like that. However, there is a threat to our reputation. There is a threat to our future in so many ways. Will we follow Jesus regardless of cost or consequence and give our life to doing good? Give our life for the cause of the gospel? That can bring even more healing in life than the terrorists brought destruction. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, everybody listening to me on WMCA, I want to have a word with you towards the end of this hour. So do your best to stay tuned. I just want to have a little heart-to-heart with the rest of the nation listening in. 866-34-TRUTH. If 10 is the very worst the world will get right before Jesus returns, where are we now? Let's go to Fun K in Bethesda, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Michael, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
We are in number 8. The reason why I say that is that we're in the labor pain. We're in the labor pain that is going to get worse and worse and worse, because the Bible said the darkness has already covered the earth and gross darkness has invaded the people. So since 9/11, Satan has released demonic attack all over the world. Jesus said, we should look up. We people, we can tell, we can discern if there's going to be rain or not. How much more? We can discern the time that we are. Though gross darkness has invaded people's heart, that God's glory is going to arise in the midst. He said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen. God has a remnant. He told Elijah, he said, you are not the only one. I have 7,000 people. God has a remnant right now that carry the glory of God. And I love your show, The Light of Fire. They carry the fire of God, and they're going to go forth and minister this glorious gospel. So right, the church needs to wake up. This is the time to wake up.
Got it. And all right, thank you very much. And what our sister is saying is that things are in terrible shape, great calamity. However, God's light is going to shine in the midst of it. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary in Houston, Texas, what's your take?
My take, I agree with the gentleman from Washington. I think we're just in stage one. I think that we're, like the lady, well, like everybody has said, it's going to start escalating rapidly. But in terms of actual suffering right now, I don't think we have any, we can't fathom the suffering that's going to happen. And when you consider that a third of the world is going to be wiped out and then another, you know, percentage, that's billions and billions of people that are going to be killed.
What about human wickedness? Where do you see that in terms of where we are right now and where things will go?
I think human wickedness, we're probably at about a, maybe a 3 or 4. But in terms, I mean, you see it in our country now with this initiative in Colorado trying to, you know, limit the practice of Christianity to your house and the church building. And, I mean, gradually people have no idea how much our rights have been eroded in this country. And I don't want to be political, but if the next election, I think will determine the amount of escalation of what happens to Christians in this nation, because there's definitely an anti-Christian basis. But considering what's going on around the world, like the slaughter of Christians in the Muslim countries, America has not even begun to understand how evil and wicked things are going to be.
All right. Yeah, Mary, let me just jump in and get to another call. But thank you for weighing in with her perspective. So in terms of suffering, outpouring of wrath, shaking, she sees us more at a 1. In terms of human wickedness, maybe a 3 or 4. Let's go to Donna in Germantown, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I believe we're at a 9, and I believe the way the outcome of this next election goes will put us at a 10.
Got it. All right. Now, do you think that it has to go one way or the other to get to that tipping point of 10, or just whoever's in, we're on that inevitable slide?
Well, I think personally the church is at a Red Sea experience. This is my belief before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I believe we have the enemy behind us, the Red Sea in front of us. I think the same thing with Abraham when he was told to take his son and go and offer him, but God had to do a miraculous moment. I think we're there, and I think if we return, repent, and really, I forget if it's 1 John, not the book of John, but there's John 1, 2, and 3. One of those books talks about the spirit of Antichrist and what that entails. If we really know the Word of God and we stand on it, I think we will, God will give us the wisdom of what to do, but I believe that we are really at one of those moments, just like when he yanked Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think we're pretty close.
Got it. All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in. You'd be thinking especially of 1 John, the second chapter, and then with further thoughts on that in the fourth chapter. Not that it's unmentioned in the other letters. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's go to Gyro in Miami. Thanks for calling the Line of Flyer.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I believe we're at approximately about a 5, to be honest with you. I think that there's still a lot of things that the Lord wants to do in his church and his body. He didn't send his spirit to just have us all lukewarm. He sent the spirit to have us grow, mature, so that we know him and know his power and his resurrection and the love and the fellowship of the saints. And I think that's where he's working on, and he's going to bring judgment first in the house of the Lord, and then he's going to take care of the world and the ungodly. And I believe we're at about a 5, and you know, there's a lot of trials and testings coming our way, and we need to stand firm and be obedient to the Word and prayer and supplication and praise and worship, fellowship with the saints. And the church is not as large as we all think it is. I just want to say, thank you for letting me speak, and it's not as large as we think it is, and when we see one falling to the left or to the right, all I can say, brother, stand firm.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jaro. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. CJ in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, Dr. Brown, I think it's a 7.5.
Okay.
Well, we have the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the tornadoes, the natural disasters. The children of Ishmael fighting with the children of Isaac, the popularity of Islam in Europe, also a homosexual marriage in the United States and other countries. We also have, like, the sexualization of children, especially with the morning after pill in New York, you know, given to 14-year-olds.
Yep. All right, so 7.5 for those reasons. I appreciate the precise number and the clear thinking behind it, CJ. I'm sure you could expand more, but thank you for weighing in, sir. I appreciate it.
Sure, okay. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, so how much more wicked are you going to get than giving morning after pills to young teenagers in New York schools without even parental notification or permission and redefining marriage? Or is it going to get massively more wicked and extreme? Let's see, Eddie in Mauritius on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Eddie.
Hi.
Yeah,
yes,
you're
on
the air.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Okay, I believe we're at an 8, and I believe that I would like to comment on America. I'm a 55-year-old man, and I really believe that what America is experiencing now is we're becoming more of a godless country, and in doing that, what's happening is it's showing up in our society. Things have changed. People have changed. Their hearts are hardened, and now is the time for us Christians to show love and to love one another and to show the world exactly what the Bible does lay out.
Got it. Yep, and of course, America does have a great influence for good or bad around the world. Thank you for calling, Eddie, and weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Anne in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello, Dr. Brown. I think that we're at a level of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is that I actually had a vision, and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with this vision and the word that I received from the Lord. And at one time it had been a vision of the wrath, which will be terrible. And then at the next time, the vision was that the believers, they don't understand the grief and the sadness and the evil that's going to come down upon this earth, and that the believing Christians and Messianics, anybody that is a believer in the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, they have to gird themselves.
All right, so just to jump in, so Anne's saying just a vision that she had indicates we don't know a fraction of what's coming. Wake up time for the church. All right, Anne, thank you for weighing in. Sorry, I have to run.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I've been fielding calls. I've never asked this question like this before, but I've been fielding calls and said if before Jesus returns, the world will be in a state of 10, meaning chaos, moral decline, war, upheaval. Regardless of whether you're pre-trib, post-trib, your belief, if you believe that at the end there will be this shaking, decline, so on, and many of you have a different theology and understanding of Scripture about the end times, so this would not be the day for you to call. I'll ask for others to call who have a different view on the end times one of these other days, maybe as early as next week. But for those who believe that shaking, calamity, upheaval will be coming, if that will be a 10 before Jesus returns, Where are we now? And our numbers have ranged from 1 to 9 thus far. And I'm going to take calls into the next hour on this. So if you're on the line, you can hold a little while. We'll get you on the other side of the hour. But I want to articulate my views a little bit further. For many years, as I've read the Scriptures, my understanding, perception of the end of the age has been one of parallel extremes. On the one hand, I have tremendous confidence in God and tremendous confidence in the unfolding of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe what Peter said in Acts 2, quoting from Joel 2, that in the last days God would pour out his Spirit. I see that as continuing right until the end of the age. Great outpouring of the Spirit. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Massive, massive harvest of souls in an unprecedented way. Multitude that no one could number, fullness of the Gentiles coming in, all Israel turning and being saved. And I mention that on this holiest day of the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Jews around the world, unless they have already finished this, living in a different part of the world. Right now, many Jews, several million, would be fasting and praying and asking for mercy and asking for forgiveness. We join our hearts with God and say, Lord, pour out your Spirit on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As your people pray and beat their breast and repent and fast and cry out, reveal Jesus Yeshua to them. Reveal him as the Messiah who takes our sins on his shoulders, that we, dying to sin, could live for righteousness, that we could receive that mercy. But I see in Scripture great harvest. I see in Scripture the Great Commission continuing and unfolding, nations being turned, or large parts of nations being turned to the Lord. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I see as God increasingly gives the human race over to its sin, and as Satan begins to go even more berserk than he ever has as his time gets shorter and shorter, that as these things unfold, and as God's wrath is poured out, I expect things to get much, much more severe than we could even imagine. Look, we've lived through world wars. We've lived through the horrors and casualties of the Civil War, where we had more deaths in a single day than in many of our other wars over a period of weeks and months, or even longer. Tremendous human suffering. As I read Scripture and I see what human beings are capable of, and I know how much wrath is deserved and how much on a certain level Satan must be restrained, boy, I look at it that we're maybe at a 2 or 3 now in terms of what's coming. both in terms of outpouring of God's glory and both in terms of outpouring of God's wrath, both in terms of outpouring of satanic wrath and human depravity. I look, whatever we're, quote, suffering now here in America, I'm on the air freely. No one's carrying me off to prison for doing this radio broadcast. You can walk into Christian bookstores. You can walk into Christian schools. You can walk into Christian gyms to work out. You can watch Christian TV. You can read Christian novels, Christian diet books. You can listen to Christian radio. You can go to God knows how many websites that are Christian in content. The Bible continues to be the best-selling book worldwide. What I'm saying is we certainly have not walked into a time of intense persecution and upheaval, nor have we seen the real wraps taken off what human beings can do. We've seen glimpses of it in history, but I believe the end of the age will be a time of parallel extremes. Now, you may have a difference with this, and you may read Scripture very differently, Revelation differently. That's fine. That's something to continue to discuss. And I'm just weighing in with my viewpoint, which means if we don't wake up now, come on. If we don't step to it now when it's relatively easy, what are we going to do when it gets rough? What if it is in 10 years? Maybe in 300 years? What if it's in 10 years? Are we going to wake up to reality? Now, little chat with all of my friends on WMCA in New York. Can I just talk to you heart to heart as our friends across the nation listen? We are... My heart beats for the nation. My heart beats for the nations. But I have a special burden in particular for New York City. I grew up, born in Manhattan, raised on Long Island. And being out in the city again these last few days freshly burdens me. I just want to be candid that it costs us far more to be on the radio, far more to be on the radio in New York City than everywhere else in the nation and many of our other stations combined, but we're committed to doing it. I met one of our regular listeners who said something amazing for a New Yorker. He said this to me on Sunday morning at Bethlehem Assembly of God. He said, I listened to you on the Bell Parkway. He said, I hope for traffic. Think of a New Yorker saying, I hope for traffic, but that's how much he enjoys listening to the show. I need to hear from many of you, though. If you believe in what we're doing, help carry this burden with me and become a monthly torchbearer. Hey, $25 or more per month, that's just a few tolls in New York City. Stand with us. Help us expand what we're doing to touch many, many more people and help carry the burden as a New Yorker together with us so it doesn't just fall on my shoulders and the shoulders of others outside of the greater New York, New Jersey area. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to become a torchbearer, monthly supporter. Those giving at least $25 or more per month will send you a free thank you book. That's always a surprise, but I'm telling you up front, we send you a brand new message that I've preached every single month. We give you 15% discount to our online bookstore and free access to all of our online classes that I've taught. So we sow back into you, but we really need your help, especially if you're listening on WMCA. Will you join us? Will you say, hey, I want you to be on the air in my city? Call this number, 1-800-278-9978. And remember, we're doing something we've never done before. Two CDs, each with 12 hours of teaching, 12 hours on prayer, 12 hours of intercession. The best teaching I've ever done on prayer and intercession, $40 value plus postage. Your gift of any size will send this out. If you become a torchbearer today and say, hey, send me these as my opening gift, I will do that. How's that? But whatever you can afford, if it's $5 for this set, if you're not becoming a torchbearer, if it's $10, if it's $50, those who have more, help with those who have less. Again, it's $40 plus postage normally, but I want to get these into your hands. You listen to them on your computer or your MP3 player. And if we can be deeper in prayer, friends, we can be world changers. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, God said to Jeremiah, if you're getting worn out running with footmen, how are you going to run with horsemen? Friends, it's only going to get more intense in the days and years to come. Now's the time to wake up and get in spiritual shape. So how do we respond as believers when the world is in turmoil and there's chaos all around us? What should our attitude be?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's Wednesday. That means we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. And I was looking at some of the things happening in our society that are pretty outrageous, pretty crazy, pretty out there, crazy, outrageous things happening around the world. And maybe the most crazy, insane of all is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, who has called for the elimination of Israel. Speaking at the UN yet again, but speaking at the UN, not only yet again, one time too many, first time was one time too many, but speaking on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. How in the world does that happen? Michael Brown, great to be with you. Well, as I was thinking about all of these things, it dawned on me that I just wanted to ask you all a question. I asked it the first hour. I'm going to ask it the second hour, but with a little bit of a twist. Are you ready? If you believe that the end of this age, before Jesus comes and physically establishes kingdom on the earth, that the end of this age will be marked by chaos and calamity and shaking and tribulation, whether you're pre-trib, post-trib, is not even my concern here. But you believe that's how the end of the age will be marked. If that's a 10... what number are we at today? Are we a 1? Are we a 5? Are we a 9? Are we right at 10? Where would you say where we are today in terms of human wickedness, be it in America, around the world, be it in terms of social cultural upheaval, be it in terms of spiritual decline, be it in terms of the earth shaking through natural calamities and other things? Where would you place us? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487. 884. Now, I want to throw out another question for you, and I'll ask this at other times and bring on others to defend this viewpoint. Right now, this is just kind of a way of survey. If you believe that the world is going to get better and better until Jesus comes, if you believe that righteousness is going to rule on the earth and the gospel is going to spread throughout the whole earth and the earth will get better and better before Jesus comes, I'd like you to call and tell us why you feel that way. So we'll get a wider range of expressions. 866-348-7884. Later in the broadcast, I want to play a clip from Joel Osteen with a panel discussion on CNN where, yes, the subject of homosexuality is brought up to him again. Why him? I mean, that's the last thing he's nearly going to talk about. But sir, I don't mean why him attacking him. I mean, why in the world are they going to ask him? Well, because if you're perceived to be conservative or evangelical, then naturally you're going to be asked that question. I want to play what he had to say, not to attack him. Where I differ with things that he has to say or his approach, I'm happy to share that, as he is a public figure who makes his views plain and clear. But I want to play this clip for you for a little different reason. So we'll do that a little later in the broadcast. And let me say this. Regardless of where you believe we are in history, here we are today. And there's not a human being on the planet who knows exactly when Jesus is coming back. And we do know that everyone who has guessed a date so far has been wrong. Thankfully, no one's listening to Harold Camping's guesses anymore, as he has thoroughly discredited himself. Well, he did many years ago. People just didn't recognize it. But everyone who set dates so far has been wrong. I am not setting dates, and I don't know if Jesus is coming in my lifetime or the lifetime of my kids or the lifetime of my grandkids. I can't prove that. Well, I'd certainly love to see it happen and have expectations. This much I know. I want to be about my Father's business right now while I have life and breath and while the harvest is ripe. Unto gathering.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Regardless of your end time view, here we are today. I got saved in 1971. I had dinner Sunday night with folks who knew me. They were part of the church when I got saved. They knew me before I got saved for a few months. They watched me get saved. They watched the transformation come. They watched some of the old junk get out before I began to transform. And they watched me in those earliest days with, I wasn't totally sanctified overnight. God had mercy, and the rough edges and the ugly parts of personality some of these people had to live with. They knew me back then. They've known me through the years. We've watched God's grace keep us and enable us to bear fruit for Him now, 41 years later. But this much I know, when I got saved in 1971, I was told Jesus was coming back at any minute. He hasn't yet. He hasn't. I'm not living as if He's coming back any minute. I'm living with expectation and longing for His return. I'm longing for His appearing. And I'm sure I should be longing more deeply if I had a greater appreciation to the pain and suffering of this human race and to the glories to come. I'd be longing even more deeply and longing to be used by Him to make an impact on a hurting and dying world and living in readiness to meet Him. 866-34-TRUTH. What we can do is what we can do. Don't worry about what you can't do. Oh, if you have a burden, if you have a calling from the Lord, if you have a passion to do something for the kingdom and you feel restricted, then do what you know how to do and cry out to God for release for these other ways, other aspects and avenues. But please don't just think about, well, what's coming and speculating on the prophetic calendar. I always wonder, okay, what's the use of the prophetic calendar if it's not going to tell me how to live today? I remember Leonard Ravenhill saying to me, before he went to be with the Lord in 1994, I don't care about what's going to happen in the year 2012. I won't be here. I mean, what about today? How can we serve God today? Nonetheless, I'm curious to know where you put things as you hear the latest world news. By the way, I'm going to go to your calls shortly. There is a report from the Washington Times by Colonel Ron Cruz that toleration is not being expressed towards those who oppose homosexual practice in the military. And he claims there is mounting evidence that proves our warnings were not idle chatter. The threat to freedom posed by this radical sexual experiment to our military is real, it is grave, and it is growing. And he said, ignore the report that 1 year after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, everything has gone on just the same. He said that's not true and gives details of that. Read this story. It was posted and sent to me just a few days ago, but it goes back to May. Indiana woman wants to marry her pet dog, tries to rally support from gay rights activists. I haven't been able to find anything more about this since then, so I'm still questioning the accuracy of this report, how much it was just something printed to be silly or an attention-getting stunt. But nothing would really surprise, I shouldn't say that, most anything would not surprise me in terms of where we are going in our society. That being said, it doesn't mean I think it's all over. That doesn't mean I think that the end is right here and we have reached the apex of human wickedness and human suffering and upheaval in the world. Some callers in the last hour thought we're on a 9 of a scale of 1 to 10. Others thought we're at a 1. So I'm going to hear from more of you right now, 866-34-TRUTH. Maria in Woodbridge, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, right. Dr. Brown, by the questions you're asking and the answers that you're giving tells me that you have never studied the book of Revelation, the prophecy of Jesus.
Well, that's false.
No, it's studied. I mean studied it like you study a language for years and years and years to get a doctorate. I'm not talking about reading it once or twice or three times, but I'm talking about
studying. Or 20 or 30 times?
No, I've been studying for 14 years every day, okay? Now, I'm not saying I'm a doctor. I wouldn't call myself a doctor or anything. Mm-hmm. But by the questions you're asking, if I went into a class and the teacher would ask questions like that, I would know that this person knows nothing about the subject she's talking about.
Oh, well, hang on. What was my question?
Every question you've asked, okay?
The Book of Revelation. Maria, hang on. What was my question?
I'm saying every question. You get a minus 10, Dr. Brown.
Maria, what?
I just told you every question, Dr.
What?
Brown.
Name one question that
everyone.
I asked.
Everyone. When you.
All right. Maria, I want you to be patient and listen for a second, okay? Because I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk. My question was, if you believe that there will be spiritual moral decline at the end of the age, wrath poured out, shaking tribulation, if you believe that, and that will be a 10, where are we today? I said others, based on their reading of Scripture, don't believe that. Others, based on their reading of Scripture, believe that things will get better and better before Jesus returns. So my question was those who believe a particular way. If you've been studying Revelation, you know it is one particular way of reading the book of Revelation. It's not the only one. So, Maria, I would say the problem is not what I'm doing as a teacher or lecturer or radio host. It's that you haven't understood my question. I'm asking a particular part of the audience who understands the end times a certain way. So, Maria.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Did you hear what I just said?
Okay, right. First of all, God's people are listening to you. God's people are not appointed to wrath, okay? God's people are not appointed to wrath. The wrath is included in the last woe of Revelation, okay? You hear me?
But you didn't just hear what I said.
So when you're talking to God's people and you're talking about something that they're not appointed to, tells me that you don't know what you're talking about, all right? And that you haven't.
All right, tell you what. I was really gonna give you a shot. But you're not listening, Maria. I said we're not talking pre-trib or post-trib. Everybody I'm talking to may believe that we're raptured out before wrath is poured out. That wasn't my question. See, Maria, I would gladly have a dialogue with you. I would be very, very happy to have a dialogue with you. But you have to listen in order to interact properly. You can disagree with everything I say. That doesn't faze me in the slightest. Not in the slightest. And you can say God's people are not appointed to wrath, and that means when wrath is poured out, we're protected from it. We can be taken out from it. We can protect it in the midst of it. We will have tribulation. Jesus said that in this world you'll have tribulation, but of course we're not appointed to wrath. We understand that. That's never my question. Everyone I'm talking to could believe that we're raptured out long before there's wrath. I was simply asking if the end of the age before Jesus returns will be at a level 10 of destruction, tribulation, wrath, human wickedness. Where are we today? That was it. So, Maria, I encourage you with all your study to listen. James, Jacob, the first chapter says we should be slow to speak, slow to anger, but quick to hear. So it'll help a lot, okay? You can always call in and differ with me, but you have to listen and understand first, all right? So maybe we'll try this again in a few weeks, but you got to be listening better to do it. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Gene in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. I would say that we're at a level one.
Okay.
And I say that because as far as my understanding of the Bible, this is all prophetic that's happening today and mm-hmm. even leading up to today. And we're looking at all the upheavals in these different countries, and I just don't believe that we're further than a one. Because
so what do you expect, Gene? I have no argument with you on that in terms of that doesn't shock me or anything. What do you expect things to look like as we're right at the end of the age?
I expect it to look exactly like it says in Revelation.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So,
And I also, I have to say this, that here in America, we are so fixated on America that we forget we're not the only ones in this world. And we are so, just as I heard you say about you were in New York and 9/11, the memorial and the people, you felt this. And I understand it, and I understand that 9/11 was really terrible. I don't agree with what happened, but I also have to look at things that this country has done to other countries. And one, for instance, is Iraq. Everybody seems to forget all the people that lost their lives in Iraq, but mm-hmm. nothing.
Right. Now, you know, Gene, let me just say this. That's a whole other discussion that I'm happy to have another time.
Yes, I understand. What I'm saying is we get so fixated in this country about us.
Yeah, and suffice it to say this. I agree. Suffice it to say this. Americans have their own share of guilt in whatever way, whether it's being as the world's largest exporter of pornography and materialism and so on. But the human race is guilty. The human race needs Jesus. All right, we'll be back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My simple question, regardless of whether you're pre-trib, post-trib, if you hold to a view that at the end of the age there will be chaos, there will be tribulation, there will be outpouring of God's wrath, there'll be great human wickedness, perhaps you believe, as I do, that there'll be great revival and moving of God, so darkness and light in different parts of the world or side by side in different ways, just as you can have one part of the world that's dark with physical light, one part of the world that's light with physical light at the same time. If the end of the age will be a 10, where are we now? And if you have a different theology, one in which you believe that the world will get brighter and better before Jesus returns, you won't be able to articulate your full reason for holding that, but I would like to know your basic scriptural reason for holding to that view. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I feel like I've gone through personally in 2007 a cataclysmic financial loss with the loss of a business and home and what have you. Mm. And now I'm really thankful to the Lord that I'm back on my feet and I'm in a much better place. But I really am very concerned about the American church. Christian church specifically, in the sense that we have bought into the prosperity gospel or variations thereof and have this sense of entitlement. And I really feel that, you know, the Lord uses a way to correct us by getting his attention sometimes. And I, for me, that's exactly what happened.
Patrick, I'm glad to hear that you're back on your feet. So as far as where you see things overall, just when Dwight took your call, he put down a number 2. So you think that we're nowhere near the shaking, upheaval, wickedness, wrath, whatever it is that's to come, that it's pretty peaceful and quiet right now, relatively?
I think we're in the eye of the storm, if you will. I think that the financial laws, you know, there's laws of gravity, et cetera. There's laws of finances. And our country, families, businesses are just spending more than we have. There's going to be a day of reckoning. When that'll be, I don't know, but it appears it's going to be sooner than later. And after having gone through it myself, it's quite devastating for a man. You know, you end up intertwining yourself within the fabric of your business and your identity and what have you. So I think the fear that I have is that many Christians are attached to the possessions that they've acquired. I was one of them. I considered myself probably a 60-70% Christian. I kept 30-40% for myself. Okay, and since I went through this crisis, my heart is so much for the Jewish people that I've been doing things that I don't want to mention on the radio, but I've helped different Jewish friends of mine. I've started a website, and I feel that I had a very strong
feeling. Yeah, and Patrick, just to jump in, because I got a bunch of folks that want to dive in as well. Your point would be that we haven't yet reaped what we're sowing, that we're sowing to the flesh, we're sowing to selfishness, and what we're going to reap is going to be destructive. We just haven't gotten there yet. Just to bring that to clarity, I appreciate the call, and thank you for your gracious help for others and for Jewish people. Ellen in Apex, North Carolina, where would you place us on the scale?
Well, hello, Dr. Brown. I would place us very close to a 5.
And the reason being
is that, you know, I think about God's word and how he says in those days that unless they turn away, that he'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. And I believe he's been doing that for quite some time. Everybody knows that a reprobate mind is where you have no conscience anymore. You just nothing bothers you anymore. Anything goes, and you just accept it. If somebody says it, you just take it. And I believe that's been happening for a long time, and I believe it's getting worse daily, day by day.
All right, so we see a lot of the signs of the decline. A lot of the things are already happening, and yet the bottom hasn't totally fallen out yet. So put us around a 5, all right? I appreciate that. Thank you for weighing in. I just want to hear where your different ones are coming from. Again, we've got pretty much the full extreme from 1 to, in fact, let's go to Sean in Salt Lake City, Utah, who puts us at around a 9.8. Yes, go ahead, Sean. Tell us why.
Thank you for taking my call, Doctor. I was raised Catholic, and I joined the Mormon Church because I came from an alcoholic Catholic family. And so then I went through the temple and saw what they did in there, and I went, whoa, this is not Christian. And because my heart was pure, I had joined the LDS Church to get closer to Christ. The more mm-hmm. they told me read the Book of Mormon, the more I read the Bible. And finally, I officially left the church and became a full-on born-again Christian.
Got it.
And I'll tell you why I think we are in a 9.80 situation. They found the red heifer that finally started breeding again in Israel several years ago. I think about 15 or 20 years ago, they started breeding the red heifers again that are going to be the pure sacrifice. They actually found in tombs the old flax and linen seeds that was the exact DNA match for what the Jewish high priests of old have said will be used for the robes in the temple when the Messiah comes back. And I'll tell you, with the constant attacks on Israel, with the fact that we have, you know, I don't want to offend anybody politically, so I don't have to address that, but I think
right, but you see enough things, you see enough upheaval.
There's pharmakia. There's. I mean, everybody wants to get stoned. They want to legalize marijuana. Cocaine's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's relative. There's no black and white anymore. And I understand from a psychological standpoint that black and white thinking isn't healthy. But let me tell you, from a scriptural standpoint, it absolutely is healthy.
Got it. Hey, I've got a break coming up, so I just need to jump in. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. But from Sean's perspective, not only do we have the moral decline, not only do we have the attacks on Israel or Ahmadinejad talking about wanting to eliminate Israel, and here he is speaking to the UN, Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, Day of Atonement, but other things in place that would be necessary, according to some, for the rebuilding of the Third Temple. Therefore, we're right at the tail end. That's Sean's perspective. Hey, if you differ, that's why we have live talk radio. Keep trying to get through as the phone lines are jammed, but keep trying, 866-348-7884, or weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Okay, we come back. We're going to continue with this discussion, and I'll give you my viewpoint, and we'll hear an audio clip from Joel Osteen. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so pleased to have this opportunity to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. For the last hour and a half, I have been fielding phone calls in the midst of sharing my own perspective and hopefully wisdom from the Word with you on the question of if, when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom on the earth, you believe that the state of the earth will be a 10, meaning the ultimate expression of wickedness, depravity, backsliding, confusion, outpouring of divine wrath, shaking upheaval. If that's your view, and you may say we're going to be raptured out first, and I'm not even discussing that, but if your view is that it'll be a 10 when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom on the earth, where are we now? A scale of 1 to 10, where are we now? 866-34-TRUTH. And if you believe that the world is going to get better and better before Jesus returns, give me a call and tell me why. That would be kind of the exact opposite perspective. Before I get back to your calls, before I share some other things that are on my heart, I want to play just a little bit of an excerpt of an interview where Joel Osteen is on a panel discussion on CNN. There's a gay man on the panel. There are others that are discussing things with him. And he's asked once again about homosexuality. Now, I'm not playing this to bash him. If I want to take issue, I'll take issue plainly, respectfully, but plainly. I'm not playing this, though, to bash him. I want you to hear this unfold.
When you came on Piers Morgan show a while ago, he asked you about homosexuality, Christianity, homosexuality. And almost every time we have a pastor on, it's a conversation we have. And you are known for these uplifting ceremony services, and you talk to a lot of, it's like 45,000 people who attend. And I always wonder, when you say homosexuality is a sin, and there's a bunch of people who clearly are gay who are in your church, you're calling them sinners. I mean, that...
Well, so that
it's the opposite of uplifting, I would
say. It does, but one, I don't necessarily focus on that. I only talk about that on the interviews. The other thing, too, is it seems like in Christianity, sometimes we categorize sin. I mean, pride is a sin. Being critical is a sin. Being negative is a sin. The scripture even says anything that is not of faith is a sin.
We're all sinners. You'd say we're all sinners.
Yeah. And so I think we say, okay.
So homosexuality is not so bad, right?
Well, I don't think it's God's best. Neither do I think, you know, being prideful.
No one is God's best, right?
No, we're all growing.
I mean, so don't you think, though, that with the country struggling with increasing acceptance of all its citizens and you're for basic fairness for everybody, that in situations where, like, we're trying to pass these marriage equality bills in certain states now, that you have an important voice to lend to that, especially to kids who are maybe worried about who they are and where they fit in the community?
Well, you know, I think I have an important voice, but I think I've been good. I think part of my, if you want to call it success, is I've stayed in my lane, and my lane is lifting people's spirits, and there are issues that good Bible-believing people see on both sides of the fence, you know,
would say to gay young people that, you know, do what you feel is comfortable, yes?
You know, I would say do what I feel like the scripture says. I don't think being...
Well, and there's a big debate about what scripture says,
it is,
right?
It is. And so
okay, that's good.
But I'm lost, though. But when you say, you would say the scripture says homosexuality is a sin.
Exactly.
So this is what I'm trying to understand. I go to church regularly, but sure. I'm not so strong on the Bible, so you'll have to walk me through this. And there are some pastors who disagree. They say the scriptures don't defend that, and Jesus didn't weigh in on homosexuality.
Sure.
So my question is, when you're talking to your 45,000 people in your service, and some of them are gay, you're saying to them, you're a sinner.
Well, Shirley, that first off, in my services, I don't cover all these issues that we talk about here.
Would you make it clear that you think that homosexuality is a sin?
When I read the scripture, that's what I believe, that the scripture condemns it or says it's a sin.
All right, let me just jump in here. I'll give you my thoughts on this on the other side of the break. Stay there, and your calls are next. Hang in there.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, remember to call 866-348-7884. Still in New York, Long Island area, last broadcast from here, and then, God willing, fly home afterwards and back in our North Carolina studios. I mentioned this in the first hour, but I posted this question: what do you think of France's plan to ban the words father and mother from official documents to prepare for same-sex so-called marriage? And one of the comments was, this is the end of the world. Well, that also got me thinking about how close some people feel that we are. The exact words, I think the end is near. Hey, if there's no more mother, father, I mean, how much further is it going to go? And yet, there may be depravity and shocking things that would amaze us today. These may be like country club days of ease compared to what is coming. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. We'll start with Anna in Marietta, Georgia. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I think we're on a 7.
Okay.
And if we take in consideration, besides the all the stuff that's going on, organized crime, organized sin, turmoil in the Middle East, and the earthquake, the famines, and the pestilence, there's something that calls my attention. One is that the gospel has been preached in places where we would never imagine it would be. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, many people are so oblivious to what's going on, and others are so in a deception state. I am amazed when I talk to these people how they do not see what's going on. And that's probably one of the things that really tells me that we, all these things are going on under the table and they just don't see it.
So, all right, so on the one hand, seeing that God's word is getting out and the gospel continues to spread to places it's never spread to before, on the one hand, and on the other hand, just the level of darkness and deception on people you talk to that they can't even tell right from wrong
exactly.
anymore.
Totally
tell you we're
oblivious.
At a 7
yeah.
out of a 10. All right, hey, Anna, thank you for weighing in with those thoughts. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Steven in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Good to talk to you. I'm actually a pastor of a small church here in the metro area, and that's a great question, but I think it's really hard to gauge. So I kind of put it somewhere between a 3 and a 5, and I only say that because I do think that the events of the end of this age are going to be so horrific that really what we're going through now, although certainly the spirit of Antichrist is at work, no doubt, mm-hmm. You know, I just don't think that what we're seeing now really truly compares to what we're going to see should God tarry. I preach to my congregation all the time, though, that, you know, it certainly appears that we're in the end times, and there's just such a spiritual indifference among churches, and I don't know, just such a spiritual delusion, it seems to me, that's going on, and I certainly think that we must be on the brink of something, and I only pray that as things do continue to deteriorate, and we know that they will from Scripture, that God will maybe, you know, always raise up a remnant, that there will be a time of renewal, and still many will come to Christ, hopefully. I don't know that that's, you know, necessarily going to take place. I'm certainly praying for that for my own congregation, you know, but certainly
and
I
Stephen,
believe
it. Yeah, one thing that I do see clearly is parallel extremes at the end of the age. I see clearly that there are many verses that speak of great outpouring and great harvest. Again,
sure.
The question is exactly where we stand, but yeah, I mean, a question could fairly be asked, and I'm looking at some of the callers ready to weigh in who see things in a much more extreme form than you've suggested. But if we're so close to where it's going to be right before Jesus returns, I wonder why we're just having such a casual conversation. In other words,
exactly.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but I mean, if it's all hell breaking loose, we might not even be able to
Absolutely.
Do this.
But, sure, that's the way I see things. You know, who knows? At this point, we just surely really do need revival. That's for sure.
We need revival church. Desperately, and America has been very messed up at different times in the past. It's really messed up today We need a real moving of God. At the same time, we've got more mega churches and more gospel TV and radio and best-selling books than we probably ever had. So all the more proof that we need revival.
Let me just give a shout-out real quickly to those pastors of small churches who really are trying to stay their course and preach the gospel. I'm one of those pastors, and it's a difficult task. And to stay grounded and to stay biblical is almost becoming something that's unheard of nowadays in many of our churches. So God bless our pastors everywhere.
Yeah, we've got to stand strong, and our calling is to be faithful wherever God's put us, whatever setting, whatever audience He's given us. If we say, "Oh, if I had 10 million, I'd do this," well, God says, "Do it with 10, I'll do the next." All right, keep standing strong, Stephen. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Skip in Ames, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I think we're setting up probably an 8 or a 9.
And, all right, tell me why.
Well, most of the biblical prophecies have already been fulfilled. And if you go to, like, Matthew 24:6, Jesus is telling us you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars, and all this. And I believe it's right around the corner, but you were asking why people aren't alarmed, as a Christian. I'm reading, where Christ says that you'll hear of all these things, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but, it's birthing pains and the things to come. Nation will rise against nation. And then we have, the Euphrates River is drying up. That's talked about where the Euphrates will dry up and the kings of the east will march across it. And one
so, Skip, let me just jump in and ask you a question. Let me take the other side for one moment. What if someone said, hey, look, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we had all the prophecies figured out, and 100 years before that, they had all the prophecies figured out. What makes today any different? How would you respond to that?
Well, in today, in society, I mean, even I have a lot of friends that, claim to be Christians, but, it's my opinion that you say the Lord's Prayer, you're asking that things will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, yet they take a complete world view when it comes to gay marriage, abortion, and that sort of thing. And then you have timelines in the Bible. I believe that, like, Matthew 32, talking about the fig.
Matthew 24, 32. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Matthew 32, where, it says, learn a lesson from the fig, and, they in the Bible, the fig represents Israel. And when they get their land back, that generation will not pass until Christ's return. And,
all right, that was 1948, though, of course.
Correct, and some are still alive.
So you're looking at generation that way. Got it. All right, hey, Skip, I appreciate you weighing in. I know you have more to say, but I've just been trying to get to kind of the heart of it with each caller to get to as many as I can. I appreciate you weighing in. Do a study, everyone, on the fig tree and conclude whether that does speak of Israel or not. That's something to look into. I absolutely believe that Israel in the land is very, very important. Jerusalem back in Jewish hands is very important for many, many reasons. I would question whether the fig tree represents Israel as a regular figure in Scripture, but that's another point. So just, again, mainly asking questions from you as opposed to giving my input. Sister Stewart in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
I truly do believe that we are squarely in the number 10.
All right, tell me why.
Number one, America has legalized sin and evil policies, which are abominations against God.
Okay.
Number two, there is mass confusion among the unsaved everywhere, and they are desperately seeking for peace, which is one of the end times that Apostle Peter spoke of. Number three, in the Bible says that in the last day, according to Scripture, that as in the days of Noah and Lot, see, everyone is nowadays doing what is right in their own eyes. That's not to even mention the same sex, because the spirit of the living word declares that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So we are not brought to confusion being Christians. It's the unsaved world. And if we would look back at Noah's time, only 8 people out of the whole population during that era were saved. So it's not going to be that many that are saved. Now the church is going through birth pains, and I am just so glad to know that we who are saved know that the Lord can just say, come up hither at any day.
Hey,
Thank you very much.
Yeah, can I just ask you one question, if you don't mind?
Sure.
How old are you, sister?
60.
Okay. Got it. Thank you very much. God bless you. Well, you heard from our sister in Tampa, Florida. You may have a similar view, very different view. I'm going to grab a few more calls and then give you my perspective. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if you believe that there'll be upheaval, tribulation, shaking, apostasy at the end of the age, maybe with great revival too, at the same time, you say, how can that be? You can have parallel extremes in the same time. You can have God moving and people turning away at the same time. You can have great wickedness and great righteousness at the same time, even in different parts of the world. These things can happen. If you believe that that will be the scenario at the end, shaking, upheaval, tribulation, turmoil, whether you're a pre-trib or post-trib person, if that would be a 10, we've been asking, where are we today? I want to grab a couple more calls, and then I'll give you my perspective. Todd in Philadelphia. All right, we lost Todd. Let's go to Christy in Greensboro. We lost Christy. By the way, they were both a 7 in their assessment. Anna in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Michael Brown, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I believe it's an 8 or 9, and I believe so because I'm going through my own tribulation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better verification than myself after reading Revelation and what I'm going through. More relevant than that, it's like living proof. Revelation says fathers will turn away from their children, from their families, and that's exactly what's going on. And everywhere I turn, I meet other women going through it.
Mm.
Men just leaving, disappearing, not wanting any more responsibility for their families. I believe the Twin Towers, if you read Revelation, the towers shall fall. I believe the Twin Towers was the beginning. Are we closer than a 1? Oh, definitely. The Twin Towers was the 1. We are at 8 and 9 now. The sexual immorality, the immorality of people in general, the spiritual immorality, everything goes. Sex, drugs, killing of babies, shooting of wives. Shooting in schools. If this is not Revelation, please tell me what is.
Got it. I'm sorry to hear of the struggles that you're passing through personally. And obviously, when you're in the midst of it, it makes it seem all the more real around you. So may God's grace be poured out to you, Anna, in the midst of the challenges, and may His grace provide you with everything that you need. Now let me say this. I don't want to minimize what we see. I don't want to minimize the evil in society. I don't want to minimize the wickedness in society. I don't know how much is going on in the world any more than you do in terms of human suffering and pain. The amount of people kidnapped into human trafficking and sex slavery. The amount of injustice and human greed that causes babies to be starving to death that don't have to, the amount of bloodshed and war that doesn't have to take place, the amount of brutality going on in homes behind closed doors that no one knows about, and on and on and on. The destruction of so many foundations of marriage and family that we see. We're certainly at a uniquely wicked time in our society. Nonetheless, I do not believe that we're, personally, just my perspective, anything more than a 3 or a 4, I probably wouldn't even go that high in terms of what's coming. And by the way, our last caller was making reference to the tower shall fall in Revelation. That would actually be a verse from Isaiah or other passages she was referring to and put them in Revelation. But in other words, it would be at the end, end times and things like that. If there will be great calamity, upheaval, shaking at the end of the age, to me, we're nowhere near that now. Just think of how the church has endured persecution at times in the past, at the worst times in communist China, the worst times under communist Russia, what's taking place right now in North Korea and other parts of the world. We haven't seen anything near that, and much of the world still hasn't seen that. And God is moving, and millions of people are turning to him on a regular basis, and the Holy Spirit's being poured out. But I see much, much more that God wants to do, and then much, much more I expect the enemy to be doing. And I believe there's going to be a lifting of restraint on humanity so that the wickedness that human beings will commit would shock us. As shocked as we may be over certain things, there's still a lid of morality on a certain level holding things back. I expect upheaval to get way, way, way beyond anything we've known. Whether I'm right or wrong, this much I know, we have today at our disposal. We are alive today. We are alive at a time of wickedness and darkness. We need to keep our perspective right, focused on Jesus, glorifying him without fear, without shame, not trying to keep our nice little lives, but being determined, I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. I'm going to obey. I'm going to step out. I'm going to do what he calls me to do with wisdom, with grace, with compassion. But I've got to obey. I've got this one short life. May I quote the words for you again of W.E. Sangster, a Methodist preacher from several generations back. How shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride? May God awaken us and help us in this urgent day in which we live, even if it's a 2 on a scale of 10 in terms of what's to come. May God awaken us to live right, stand up, do what is right, honor him, preach Jesus without fear and shame. Go after God in private and be faithful witnesses. You know, I, in the midst of the focus of this broadcast, played a clip from Joel Osteen and never commented. I simply wanted to say, so for those who've been waiting, I simply wanted to say that, yes, I would love to see a greater articulation of the issues and would gladly help Joel if he ever wanted it, to give a greater articulation of the issues. But despite his desire to want to be positive and uplifting, I want to say I'm still pleased with the fact that he doesn't back away from saying that homosexual practice, according to Scripture, is sin. He says it more broadly, homosexuality. But I want to say that as say, Brian McLaren presides in a same-sex, quote, marriage ceremony for one of his sons, and here he is, literate and theological and all of this, and yet coming down completely wrong on these issues, and through much of his ministry career identifying as evangelical, or mildly so at least, that Joel Osteen, much maligned for many reasons, still will not back down from saying that the Bible condemns homosexual practice. And I think that's positive to say, okay, he knows there are lines he can't cross. Let's pray that God would give him a message of even greater articulation when he's in these settings, and a message of repentance to go hand in hand with it. We have extended another day the tremendous offer. Really, it's not an offer. It's our way to get these into your hands. My 2 CDs, the best teaching I've ever done, 12 hours on prayer, 12 hours on intercession, on 2 CDs to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player, suggested normal store price $40 plus postage, but whatever you can afford, I want to send them to you. Don't worry about it. Those who have more will make up for those who have less. So whatever you can afford, call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Get these. Don't feel guilty about it. I want to get them to you, okay? 1-800-278-9978. Those who can help with more, please do so. My bottom line today, we can speculate on end time prophecy. We can speculate on the book of Revelation. But today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Live for God.